In the introduction of our service, I asked the question, how many of you give thanks to God before He has done anything? Raise your hand. Okay? It's a trick question. Now, to tell you why, I'm going to read the text. Okay? So listen to what the Word says. This is God speaking. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. The reason it's a trick question is you can't give thanks to God without faith. It's as simple as that. And it takes an act of God for you to have faith. But what happens to us? The people of Israel in this day were not behaving very well. It was as if they were bound. They were bound to history instead of living in the present with a future. They were bound by fame. We're God's chosen people instead of by relationship in God and in Christ and in the promised Messiah. They were bound in tradition and external works instead of the heart. And so God talks to them, which is an act of love in and of itself. God talks to them and tells them basically He is going to free them. And how is He going to do that? He's going to give them a heart instead of a rock in their heart. The heart of stone. He is going to change them. And He does that by, in the Old Testament reading of this particular chapter, it talks about sprinkling them with water. Now, for you and I, we think of baptism when we hear sprinkling with water. But in the Old Testament, the water also, the sprinkling of water and the sprinkling of blood brought several things to mind. The sprinkling of blood was for the forgiveness of sins. On the Day of Atonement, the priest would go in and sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant, in the mercy seat of God. And then that was in the Holy of Holies. And then He would come out from behind the curtain and He would sprinkle blood on the people. And those droplets of blood were the reminding that this, with the shedding of blood, there is the forgiveness of sins. The sprinkling of the water reminded them of purification. It cleansed them. The priest, there were Old Testament passages that talk about what the priest was supposed to do, about sprinkling his robes with water as a reminder of the purity that God is granting. Or the sprinkling of the people and reminding how they have been set apart, cleansed for His purpose. But the people of Israel lived bound. To help you understand what that means, is I read an illustration about how they train elephants. And I didn't know this. Wasn't raised near a circus, although my house might have been called a circus at times. But they take a baby elephant and they shackle one of its legs. And the shackle, that brace, is then chained to a stake which is pounded deep into the ground. And the baby elephant can only move so far. And soon it learns to stand in place. They do that before they teach an elephant to dance in the circus. They first teach it to stand in place. Because elephants fidget. I didn't know that about elephants. You know? But, and so what happens is that after a while, as this elephant grows up, all they have to do is put a bracelet on one of the legs and the elephant will stand still. And then it obeys the commands because in its mind, it is shackled. It is bound. The people of Israel acted as if they were shackled. And yet, God had freed them. He had freed them historically as a nation, bringing them out of Egypt. He had freed them by promising the land, the Jerusalem, the holy city. He had freed them by telling them that he would send a Messiah. He had already planned and implemented this plan. And yet, the people acted bound. And the result of that was their thankfulness to God ceased. Their sinful nature and the sin of the world around them, the sinful thinking and the works of the devil, so shackled them that their thankfulness ceased. And when their thankfulness ceased, because their faith was dying, there was no more service to God. There was no more obedience to God. In fact, they acted like the only time that they would do something for God is if God did the next great thing. God, if you do this, then we'll thank you. God, if you'll, and even into the New Testament, when the Romans were in power and Christ was to be born, there they were acting. God, we aren't going to really worship you in truth and purity until you kick the Romans out of here. And that's the way they acted. And then they would try to keep their laws formally, acting like they were right with God. But their heart, just like in the Old Testament, the heart was far from God. Do you ever act still shackled to your sinful nature, to the flesh, to the thinking of this world? Are you still waiting to have joy because you believe God needs to act again in order for you to be thankful? Are you waiting for God's next great thing? That's the temptation of us. Our response to God, it becomes conditional on what God does next. But biblically, that shouldn't be. Because living that way is a lie. Our response to God comes from what God has already done. Just like for the people of Israel. Our response to God comes because He has changed our heart from stone to flesh. To a beating heart, a heart that is alive in Him, through Him, and because of Him. Our response to God is about loving God because He's already loved us. In fact, that's even in the New Testament. Our response to God is in giving and obeying and serving because God has already served us. But if you think about it, even culturally, even within our own community in the Bible Belt, it is as if what people do around us is not enough, and we always demand greater things. And one of the ways I think that's modeled is in the service community and the service in the sense of our waitresses and waiters. How many of you have ever worked in a restaurant? Right? You know what it's like. People are obnoxious. You know, if you are not served, in the case of people being obnoxious, you know, if you are not catered to, if you are not, and just even being greeted with a smile, that's not enough. We're always wanting more. We're wanting the best. We're wanting something greater and something maybe even that restaurant can't provide. But those are our expectations. And we act as if we deserve the smile and we deserve the hustle and we deserve the pace that they work at and we don't tip. It's awful. But that reflects how we treat God. We deserve God's grace. We came to church this morning. God should forgive my sins. I got up this morning. You know, God should answer my prayer for Aunt Martha because I prayed yesterday. You know, we start demanding of God and expecting the next thing as if God hasn't done something already that changes our heart and our thinking. And this is what the prophecy is about. And the prophecy is fulfilled by God in one of the greatest ways, and it's through His Son. Because when you and I are baptized, when we are sprinkled with the water and the Word, indeed doesn't God put His Spirit within us? And indeed doesn't God give us a new heart? In fact, we even sing that in our offertory in one of our services. Create in me a clean heart, O God. By the way, it's from a psalm. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. God has already done that. He's called you into His house. He's called you into a relationship with Him. He's given you new life. And you're waiting to say thank you? As if there's another great thing that has to happen before I respond. How often we lived as if we're spiritually chained. And yet, God has freed you. Your sins have been forgiven. Again, but it's still true. Hope has been restored. Everlasting life is guaranteed. It can't get better than that. And I think that's why the verse that talks about how the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, how that plays out in our attitude, in our heart, really, and in our thinking about our thanksgiving to God. Because we don't have to wait for the next great thing. We don't have to wait for the next pay raise. We don't have to wait for the next time we have a T-bone steak. We don't have to wait for the next time that we get the biggest chunk of chocolate. We don't have to wait until our team wins. We don't have to wait until Pastor Wink has a real short sermon to give thanks to God. God has already served you. And in that act, your heart of stone is melted and it's made alive in Christ. And that's why we can't give thanks to God before He's done something. It will always be we give thanks to God because He has done something. And He is continuing to do something. And then He has something great in store on the day of resurrection. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. You see, His mercy endures forever. Amen.